Good morning, everyone. All I can say, it's great to be home. After traveling through Chicago, Minneapolis, and then Houston, and then Auckland, and then Sydney, and then into Port Macquarie, it's wonderful to be home. And Julie got home yesterday, so we're both, or got home on Thursday, so we're both safely home. When you think about it, international travel is nothing short of a modern day miracle. Back out in the bush today, the birds are really, really happy. I think they're just really happy that things are drying up just a little bit. So you may notice though that the mozzies are a bit active as well, so you'll hear a few buzzings that come around. While I was gone, I was challenged by two basic Christian principles that I've been thinking a lot about. One is the Bible. Is it the Word of God? Second is prayer. And both of these are extremely important things to the Christian. And we're going to be talking about those extensively in the near future. But today, what I want to do is talk about the title of this, Safely Home. Safely Home is the title of a very good book by Randy Alcorn. And it chronicles the life of a Chinese martyr by the name of Lai Quan. And the author follows Lai's life, and his life was not easy. Matter of fact, he gave his life for his testimony. And but Alcorn includes what he believes it would have been like for Lai to wake up in heaven, open his eyes, and immediately he saw the face of Jesus and heard, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That would have been nothing short of amazing. The author goes on to paint a picture of heaven that will literally blow your mind. And that picture was based upon biblical truth. And it describes the place that we will live forever. So what is heaven like? Who will be there? Who will not be there? The Bible gives some ideas. Today we'll talk about our final home. But first, let's invite the Lord to be here with us today. Father, open our minds and our hearts. Help us to grasp the reality of heaven. Thank you for all the wonderful birds that are so happy this morning. Father, help us now to focus on our eternal place, the place that we're going to go and live absolutely forever. Father, may that be an encouragement and an instruction for all of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with me to the Bible and let's see if we can get some insights into what heaven will be like. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Paul writes, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Is it possible that there is no way for us to imagine what this heavenly home is going to be like? Well, it's what Paul said. But for just a few moments, let's try to imagine. Listen. I believe God, in all of his wisdom, in all of his power, has designed a place that is far beyond our ability to even conceive of it. And he has prepared that for those and only those who love him. Paul was very specific. But that verse begins to answer some questions about who will be there and who won't be there. Those who honestly love God and they focus on loving God will be there. So will you be there? Is heaven a blessing that's waiting for you? So how do we know if a person loves God? Well, the truth is you and I can never know what's in another person's heart. But Jesus gives us some insight into what it means to love him and to love God. Go with me to John chapter 14, verse number 15. If you love me, there it is, keep my commandments. Okay? You will have to determine if your life's focus is keeping the Lord's commandments. So what do you think? Do you love him? Do you love him enough that it's your life's desire to keep his commandments? Well, if so, then it's safe to say that what God has designed is for you. But there's a sad note. If you don't love God, then heaven will not be in your future. It's just a black and white thing. Loving God, keeping his commandments, what God has prepared is ours. But on the alternative, if you don't, well, I'll leave that right there. So you and I need to make sure that we love God, and we love him enough to keep the commandments of Jesus. Now, let's look at a bunch of things that won't be in heaven. Go with me to Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Won't that be wonderful? You see, there's no more tears because there is nothing or no one that will make you cry. No more death because the things that kill us will not be there. No more pain. I think I like that one. No more pain because nothing or no one will be there to cause us pain. Can we just say hallelujah, praise the Lord? Keep that in mind. Now, just a quick run through of some things that won't be there. There won't be any acne, aches, addiction, or anxiety. There won't be any bad breath or body odor or broken hearts or broken homes. There won't be any cancer, coughs, catastrophes, conflict, crash diets, deception, depression, divorce, drama, doctors, or double chins. Are you ready to go there? Let's continue. Embarrassing moments, enemies, or political elections. No, they won't be there. There'll be no fear, no funerals, no greed, no graves, no hospitals, hurricanes, hate, or hormones, no injustice, infidelity, insecurity, or infomercials. Those will all be gone. No junk or jealousy, no life support systems or lawyers, because Jesus himself will be the judge. We could go on and on and on through the alphabet, but we don't have time to do that. So as we wrap this up, let's look at some characteristics of some people that won't be there. Revelation 21, verse number 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I know this is heavy, but it is the word of God, and we need to consider you won't find these people in heaven. Now for just a couple of moments, let's look at some things that will be in heaven. First, peace and contentment will be in heaven. Won't that be wonderful? In John chapter 14, verse number 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace and contentment that Jesus gives us at salvation will be in heaven. But secondly, joy will be there. John chapter 15, verses 10 through 11. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. When we get saved, Jesus gives us that eternal joy that just keeps welling up. And when we walk into heaven, peace and joy will be all over the place. And finally, something else that will be in heaven is Jesus himself. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. It sounds like we're going to see Jesus before we get to heaven, but when we get to heaven, Paul wrote that we're going to always be with him, so we'll be with him in heaven. Well, what will it be like to see him face to face? Well, just for a couple of moments, I'm going to play a song for you. It's very familiar, to give some suggestions on what it's going to be like when you see Jesus. So now you know of some things that will be in heaven, and you know of some things that won't be there. So I guess the next question, which really is the most important to each of us, will you be in heaven? Will I be in heaven? Do you know for sure? I've spoken to so many people who respond with this phrase, well, I hope so. I think eternity in heaven is far more important than just hoping that you're going to be there. To help clarify this, let me explain in the most simple and profound way that I can. Firstly, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, and one sin, listen folks, one sin will keep you out of heaven. That's any sin. So we all need help because we're in trouble, because I don't know anybody that doesn't sin. But fortunately, Jesus came on the scene and he became the help that we needed. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, that's right, still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ and saved from wrath. That sounds to me like heaven will be our home. You see, it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be saved from what's coming to all of humanity. Do you know how to get to heaven now? Well, let me make it simple. We need to confess our sins. In confessing our sins, we're agreeing with God that we are sinners and we need a Savior. And we need to confess that sin, turn from that sin, begin following Jesus rather than following ourselves. And Paul gives us the final steps in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. I'll read it. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Do you fully believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Have you confessed your need of a Savior? And have you chosen to make Jesus Lord of your life? Doing these things will open the door for eternity in heaven to you. So let me ask you a question. Have you, as an adult, made these decisions that will affect your eternity? If not, well, you need to do so. And for the next few moments, I'm going to be playing a song for you. And I want you to seriously consider some of the things that I've said. Heaven is far too important to just hope for. We can know so based upon the Word of God. So today, if God is dealing in your heart, you can feel that drawing to Him, as I did at 23 years old. If you feel that drawing, then bow before Him and invite Jesus into your life. Confess your sins. Confess you're a sinner. You need a Savior, and you know that Jesus is that Savior. Accept His sacrifice on Calvary for you. And then once you confess that sin, turn from that sin. Begin following Jesus and make Him Lord of your life. Now, if you do that, let us know. Drop me a note so we can pray for you. And then I will encourage you to go tell somebody about the decision you've made to trust Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Father, I pray that you will use this for your glory. Thank you for heaven, and thank you that we can know the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except through me." So we need to follow Jesus. We need to trust Jesus. And then we'll see Jesus face to face when we step into heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.